Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
You made it!
Shut your mouth, Chuck. Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out of here.
Dale Arnold.
Now, it was insinuated that I was asking about him, but I never threw his name in.
He said, I don't want to play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team.
It wasn't me.
No possibility in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Rich Keefe.
Courtesy of Nora Pranasia, who says Tom Brady has a scar on his quad from being bitten by a dog after practice.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Somehow interpreted. What the hell's that word?
Wow. On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Rich is off this week. Today we're very happy to have Mutt in. They're not going to make you come back and work tonight, are they?
Because tomorrow. I can tell you that I believe I'll be with you guys the rest of the week. I'll also be hosting Red Sox Classics Wednesday and Friday night. So it'll be a little double dip later on this week. So we wrap up our Red Sox Classics from the 2013 World Series run. So we'll do some of that next
week. How about hourly coronavirus updates?
Oh, we'll be doing those at 1, 3, and 5 this afternoon as well. I want to keep people updated. Excellent job by my friend Danielle with the last update. I'll be taking over this afternoon. So if you want bad sports takes and you want COVID-19 updates and Red Sox, I got you covered the next week.
Lock it in right here, baby, as we used to say back in the day. Andy Hart, WEEI.com, is in the house with us as well. And again, we'll turn our attention to the NHL's proposals here and what they're working towards to getting back to business. MLB, the NHL, the NBA, all looking at restarting their seasons. The NFL is looking to start their season. Today, the governor of New Jersey said that he is allowing all pro sports teams in his state, and that's two of them, the Giants and the Jets, to begin to get back to training and all of that stuff. So New Jersey's given permission. Andrew Cuomo did the same thing in New York. We haven't heard anything from Charlie Baker like that, have we?
Well, that decision comes through a different channel, he said,
yeah,
2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
What channel? I mean, come on. And generally speaking, it sounds as though Charlie Baker just sort of follows along with what Andrew Cuomo does just a week or so later. So,
well, then get to it.
So hey, how about some golf carts then, Charlie? Let's go. Let's get the golf carts back on the golf course.
Is that what is that the mountain? Is that the hill you're going to die on now?
There's no mount where this is our new normal, Andy, but there are little ant hills we can try to fight through, and that's one of them. Yes, that's one of them.
Okay, I'd rather you fight for restaurants. Let me go out. How about youth sports?
We have a timetable for all those things you just said. We have in our phases 2 and 3, which might not happen until like August, but they're going to get there. We don't have a golf course cart checkup yet.
So cry me a river. Cry me a freaking river.
Good luck.
We were talking about the NBA and the proposals, and Mutt correctly pointed out it's kind of ever-evolving. You know, they get more information. I think they start to work through some things and go, well, wait a minute, that means we got to bring X number more teams back as well. Maybe that's not so smart. So it does change. I freely admit that things keep evolving. But one of the proposals, again, according to ESPN.com, and I think it was Brian Windhorst, a 16-team playoff right out of the gate. They would not be broken up into conferences. Each series would be a best of 7. They just take the 16 playoff teams, they rank them 1 to 16, and away we go. So just so you know what the matchups would be if the NBA goes with this. The number 1 Milwaukee Bucks would take on the number 16 Orlando Magic. Number 2, LA Lakers against the number 15 Brooklyn Nets. Number 3, Toronto Raptors against the number 14 Memphis Grizzlies. Number 4, LA Clippers against the number 13 Dallas Mavericks. As we told you, the number 5 Boston Celtics against the number 12 Philadelphia 76ers. Number 6, Denver Nuggets against the number 11 Indiana Pacers. Number 7, Utah Jazz against the number 10 Houston Rockets. And finally, the number 8 Miami Heat against the number 9 Oklahoma City Thunder. And I like everything about this. I mean, the playoff situation that they're talking about here, I like it.
Yeah, I like it as well. I think, as Mutt said, that's an interesting matchup that falls into place for the Celtics or the Sixers. Those fraud
Sixers. The Celtics
Sixers.
Are 1-3 against the Sixers.
I don't care.
Well, and to inject the gambling part of it, they'd be an underdog. The Philadelphia
yes.
76ers as a 12 seed would be the favorite, be a slight favorite. They'd be a slight favorite to beat the Celtics in that first
round. Is that a fact? Mutt opinion?
How about a little bit of both? I'll get you the exact number in a second, but just looking at the matchup right here and looking at the opportunity to look at the regular season, the 1-3, as Dale said, they'll make the Sixers the favorite. They have a supreme size advantage in
Although,
that best
let me
of
interject,
seven.
Let me interject this, and maybe sure. this will change your opinion.
I got to pull up the odds here. Hold on.
The Sixers were dominant at home. They were 29-2 in Philadelphia this year. They were 10-24 on the road. Obviously, if they play the Celtics, there's no home court advantage. There is no home court.
Right.
Yeah, they're all in Orlando. Does that take a dominant 29-2 record at home and just negate that entirely?
Sure.
They're still monsters inside against an undersized Celtics team. That advantage, no matter where you play, that advantage does not go away.
Plus, isn't 12-5 always one of those matchups you pick in the NCAA tournament?
That's the most popular one.
Right. Yeah. So we got a 12-5 matchup here. I'll take the Celtics. I still think Joel Embiid and the 76ers are soft as goo. Not physically. I know they're bigger and they can play inside. Mentally, he'll be skulking off the court with no fans in the corner as the Celtics celebrate advancing to the next round.
They don't like each other. These are two teams that we talked about the era of Jordan and where he played. These two teams, they do not like each other. There's some real animosity there.
I'll be able to hear the animosity because you could hear a pin drop in the empty arena.
Well,
so if somebody calls somebody a cancer or something, boom. On live TV.
Do we get pumped in crowd noise? I want the pumped in crowd noise.
They should.
I don't want to be silent.
No, yes. They absolutely should.
You'd rather have pumped in crowd noise than the ability to hear the trash talking or anything that's said?
You'd still hear that, but it's just going to sound way too. I mean, go back. The Gary Thorne call, that Orioles White Sox game a couple of years ago. Like you couldn't do that for an entire.
What if they do that on my TV feed? What if it's a separate channel of audio on my TV feed so that they can. Keep
well, then
the,
you're still not going to hear the trash talk going on down there.
No, but they can it's record it because they're never going to play it live. They're never going to play it. There'd be too many. It could go bad.
We saw with the golf on Sunday. You can't play that stuff
But
live.
If you can record it and then play it to me later. And
But they're
maybe,
not going to do that. If they're not going to play it live, they're not going to record it and play it to you later either.
Why not?
So,
Sam Darnold had to deal with seeing ghosts on live TV.
The German Soccer League has been back 2 weeks now. The first week. They did it just, obviously empty stands, no crowd noise, no nothing, and it was actually kind of weird. The audio mix was off a little bit. You could hear the players louder than you could hear the play-by-play announcers. The second week, they said, well, this sounds too strange. They pumped in the crowd noise the second week, and it was not quite as jarring. I mean, it was really jarring the first week when I watched a little bit of it, and it was silent except for guys yelling at each other.
And what if you hit the wrong button? Because there's got to be ebbs and flows to the fan noise, right? Depending on who scores and which end and maybe, a timeout. And what if you have a producer like, I don't know, can anybody come up with a producer who sometimes plays the wrong thing at the wrong time? what if you have a producer like that hits the wrong button and boo after like the third three in a row?
Right, we get to make fun of it the next day on the air.
That's called content, Mutt. You're right.
Yes, we're trying to get that. And I think the crowd noise would, and just add, and it would hopefully add some normalcy back into this thing. Because I watched a little bit of the soccer, not enough to know just how awkward it was. I don't watch enough soccer anyway to know. But the baseball game we saw a couple years ago, it was dead silent. Just it stood out. Like, it was hard to pay attention to the game.
It was off-putting, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Distracting.
And,
yep.
And maybe the announcers have to get used to it more than we do because they've got to be, and Dale, you can probably speak to this. I mean, if you're announcing game knowing that the guys on the ice, the guys on the court, the field might be able to hear you. I know Joe Rogan
in the
liked
NBA
the UFC.
Especially. I mean, can you imagine, and even now, Mike and Tommy, the officials and the players hear them anyway, right, even with crowd noise. Can you imagine if it's empty and they're sitting right down there at courtside and Tommy's ragging on the officials and
or now Shaq and that, Barkley?
And now that you're saying that, there's no way they'll have them on the courtside. They'll be up,
they can't,
you know,
right,
they'll be up level 9 like you would be at the Garden. And sorry, guys, you're calling the game up there with the monitors. And for
you're up
games,
in the Sean Grandy broadcast
yes, the Grandy
position.
The, yes, exactly. And we'll see what happens in baseball. But they're suggesting, we talked to Will Fleming about this last week, they're saying maybe at home games you'd be there, but on road games, hey, your team's on the road. If baseball's playing at traveling ballparks, you're going to call the game from, you know, NESN or WEEI. You're not traveling with them. So maybe with the NBA, because all the teams would be there, all the announcing groups would be there, but they're not going to be down on the floor. There's no shot, and not an empty arena. No way.
Yeah, I think it would be almost off-putting for the players.
Which could be good, though. That could be entertaining. I mean, we had Why? Greg Hardy, right,
I'd rather see good basketball.
Well, who's to say it wouldn't be good basketball? If Michael Jordan heard the announcer question him, cold start for his Airness tonight, 0 for his first three, you know he would immediately hit the next three threes in a row because he's Michael Jordan and he was disrespected by the courtside announcer. Or it goes the other way. We could see who turtles, who doesn't come up big, who can be directly affected by some little guy on the court like Mutt saying, oh, this guy's off to a tough start, and maybe he goes and has the most hellacious game ever. Good air, add an air of entertainment.
We will, at the bottom of the hour, have Dave Poulin join us and talk about the NHL's possibility and what they're talking about, what they're thinking about. And while I think Orlando is the perfect location, you know, for the NBA to take the entire league there, it's everything is set up perfectly for them. Unfortunately, I don't think they've got an ice arena that will handle what the NHL needs. They got lots of basketball courts, not a lot of ice arenas, so Orlando's kind of out. Sounds as though Vegas may be in. We'll talk about that. Plus difficulties, quite honestly, just traveling across the border. Right now, the border between the U.S. and Canada is closed except to essential travel. So even now, I'm not sure how they do it. We'll talk to Dave Poulin at the bottom of the hour. We'll get to your calls in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keith, Mutt's in the house along with Andy Hart. It's time to trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
I'll give you the single biggest reason why they will pump crowd noise in when you finally get sports back, and in my opinion, at least to start in empty arenas and stadiums, because the networks want it. John Aurand, writing on Sports Business Journal, had a piece called Network Looks to Add Crowd Noise to Games with No Fans, and he talks to a 32-year ESPN production veteran, a guy named Phil Orlins, who said he was appalled when he first heard the idea that they were talking about using fake crowd noise during telecasts to make up for the lack of fans. He said, and then I heard our first Korean baseball game, and my opinion on that evolved. He said it took two innings of watching his first Korean game to convince him that light crowd noise was necessary, even if it is not an authentic way to show a game from an empty stadium. He described it as disorienting, stark, and jarring to watch baseball with no crowd noise. I promise you, you're going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, look at the movie industry. Like, think of Jaws without the da-dun.
Yeah.
There's nothing there, right? I mean, we've learned it over the years. We've even seen it with wrestling, or these the sound, the audio, the score, the music affects the way we feel emotionally and interact with the product that we're watching. And yeah, you can call it, you know, lacking authenticity. And I do wonder, it is going to be funny because there will be screw ups when audio starts or stops when it's not supposed to, or it's the wrong audio, or who knows. But life without it for multiple hours of a sporting event, thanks.
And think about the heightened awareness we're going to have of the broadcast guys. Like, going back to the golf numbers that Dale has brought up, I mean, record number of, you know, people, all-time cable, you know, golf broadcast ever. We're going to be home watching every single one of these things. Little nook and cranny, just like in The Last Dance, every nook and cranny of it is going to be put on the magnifying glass by us and by sports fans. And so they're going to want to make it sound as normal as possible. So my guess is the way it starts will not be the way it ends. And the team that has to go first to decide whether it's the NBA or baseball, they'll end up being the test pigeon for this thing to try to figure out what works and what doesn't.
The only sport so far that has returned, and obviously not a lot has, the only sport where they decided it didn't help us to add crowd noise was NASCAR.
Right.
They said, because it's you don't really hear the crowd anyway. You hear the roar of the engines. Yeah. So they didn't need it for that. But for all the other sports, you are not going to get, you know, as I said, they did it the first week in the German soccer league, and it sounded so weird. They obviously said, well, we can't do this again.
And I think it might even be worse in some sports, like an empty NBA arena with the sneaker screeching noise, the squeak of the sneakers, and I think that would be even worse than some of the other sports. Like, Mutt, you brought up that Orioles game where certainly it was strange and there was no crowd noise, but you still, there are certain inherent noises that are good with baseball, the crack of the bat. I don't think the squeaker noise is good. I don't think anybody likes that noise if that's the most dominant sound you hear through a two-hour basketball
game. No, that would be, again, talk about off-putting. You talk about, are you going to be able to focus on the game or not? And there, whether it's just white noise that's sort of a murmuring in the background that helps cover up
which
some of the
I think
sounds
is what
the
it's
audience
gonna
is
be.
Not used
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll have to play with it in terms of what it is, how loud it is, how, you know, would it be monotonic? That if it, is it the same all along? Where is it coming from? Like, you got to figure that out, too. Like, you got to create this noise somewhere. And I know you could use legitimate noise from old games, but there was a flow that it matched in that game that it might not necessarily match in the new game. So is it just a 20-second clip that keeps looping? You know, how exactly do you execute this?
And ask the Indianapolis Colts. They did it
better
than anybody.
Oh, that's a cheap shot, Dale.
What do you say? The truth is never mean.
Good point, Dale. T-shirts are being printed as we speak.
Smart teams are doing this now. The smart teams are trying, or the smart leagues are doing this now to see what works and what doesn't.
Right.
We'll talk to Dave Poulin at the bottom of the hour about how the NHL is going to go about this. Let's talk to Steve in Rhode Island right now. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, you guys talking to me? Steve in Rhode Island?
Hi, Steve.
What's up, Dale? Nice to talk to you, my friend. I think I have not talked to you yet, but I'll be quick. So I watched tons of soccer. It was bizarre with the added crowd noise, but they must have had someone controlling it because the ebbs and flows and the chants sort of went along. So it was a little bizarre, but whatever. Better for the players, probably. Secondly, I would say kind of along the lines of soccer, if they ever had to do a condensed NBA season in order to avoid, you know, winter coronavirus uptick, how about a home and away with every other team? Finally, I was going to say, Mutt, you're absolutely out of your mind. Weed whacking without safety glasses, at least, is more dangerous than grinding steel. I don't know if you know pipe fitters or steel workers, but
I don't
know. You got to grind steel for welds. You got to grind steel for the steel to receive a clean weld, and you have to grind on it constantly. Weed whacking without safety glasses is more dangerous for the potential of losing your eyesight, my brother. All right,
Vince,
love you guys.
I'll get my face guard today because we need them, apparently, according to Andy Hart, in for weed whacking.
Yes. And one if you're going to grind, you need to use protection. Yeah.
One of my hockey sources texted me while we were talking and said Sparks Hockey, and it's It's with an X on the end. Sparks Hockey is making those face shields that you see.
Yes.
And that I think you can go out and probably buy them.
Well, but those are probably for the real essential, you know, frontline workers.
I think
I'll probably have to buy it commercially somewhere, which is fine.
Yeah.
We all need them.
You just need a welding shield, a grinding shield, whatever it is. Go to your local.
Get in line for 4 hours and get one.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I will say this. I've also used the weed whacker in the yard, you know, go out there with shorts on.
Oh, your
and you
shins.
Just scar your legs up. It's something fierce.
And then you take a shot. And you don't, sometimes you don't realize it because if the grass is really high, you get like a layer of green grass also on your shins. And then you take the shower, and it looks like somebody sat with a BB gun at about 6 inches away and just lit up your shins. It's unreal. People don't understand the hazards of little yard work.
It's something you learn. And after you do it the first time, you put pants on. Even if it's hot out, you put pants on so you don't have that line of
grass.
Wait
a minute. You put pants on, but you didn't put a shield?
Well, because I have the
You protect your shins, but not your eye?
But nothing's hit my eye yet. And Steve,
knock on some wood, right?
I know. I'm knocking on wood. So I don't have those available to me right now, but now I know I'll have the pants. Pants are there. Like, I'm so lazy, even I can find the pants to put on to go outside and do the yard work. It's the shield I don't have yet, which apparently I need.
But if you learned something today. If you take a pebble off the shin, it hurts. You might have a little blood. If you take a pebble off the eye, you're blind. Yeah. Dumbass.
Well, I think that's a little harsh.
Well, sometimes tough love is what you need to bring, Dale.
Oh, well, okay. Jesse's up in Maine. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on?
So just an idea, probably $1 million idea.
Nice.
Regarding the crowd noise, I was thinking, what if you had a mobile application for your phones and you the mobile app is synced up to, you know, some software and people have the choice. They have a few options for cheering, booing, defensive chants, things like that. And people press it. It goes into the software. The software analyzes what noise it's going to be, you know, produce the loudest. And that's just pumped in the stadium.
I love the idea, Jesse, because what I wasn't thinking about, and Dale mentioned this earlier, there's no home and road arenas. There's no home and road crowds. So if I'm watching the Celtics play the Sixers in Orlando at Disney World, I want a Celtics audio, right? So when the Celtics score, the Celtics go on a run, I have cheering. When they're struggling, maybe it's a little more quiet. Maybe I even have some boos. That's genius, because you'd have basically two different audios for which perspective you're watching the game.
And I'm maybe not giving the technical people out there enough credit when I say this, but it seems like something as complicated as that is something that takes a little while to develop.
A man on the moon. We're going to put a SpaceX man on the moon.
It's $1 million idea the guy just gave us.
Yes.
On the phone.
Let's take it and run with it. This will be our last show together. We're millionaires. Because think about it. Whose audio are you playing? If you're the ESPN broadcast, is it good audio or bad audio when one team goes on? Like, how do you pick? How do you decide? Which audience are you feeding?
That's why I was just envisioning like a sort of a white sort of murmuring underneath. Is it in soccer?
It's more like that. It does, and white noise is probably the right term. It's more of a murmuring underneath. It's not like, you know, the dramatic three-pointer and the crowd goes nuts. They're not doing that sort of complicated, you know, audio mixing.
I think Jesse is onto something. Two audio channels, and depending on your perspective, you get the audio that syncs up and matches up with what your team is doing on the broadcast. I don't think it'll be that hard.
I think that is more likely for local broadcast of, say, I guess Major League, like us, with the Red Sox. Like, when Red Sox are playing, then our sound you'd hear on the broadcast would be Red Sox related. For the national TV stuff, can you really set up two different audio channels?
Why not?
Two people working.
It's
on
an
it?
App. He just said it's an app. It's an application on your phone, Mutt.
How does an app work, Andy?
What do you mean? You log into it and it does what you want it to do. I pick the channel. There'll be a little thing on the screen.
How do you build an app, Andy?
Oh, there's companies that do that.
Okay.
There's people that know how to do that. Okay. I'm just an idea man. I'm with Jesse. Sometimes you got to pass the idea along to somebody who's an expert in execution.
Well, let's see how the NHL is moving forward here. They have the NHL and the NHLPA put out a joint Phase 2 proposal or plan that has been voted on and approved. And joining us right now to help kind of break this whole thing down is a former member of the Boston Bruins. He is now a TSN hockey analyst. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Dave Poulin. Dave, brought to you by Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Bruins. Hello, David.
How are you, Dale?
I'm doing all right, thanks. I'm kind of anxious to get some sports back in my life. That's why I was watching, you know, Tom Brady spray it all over the lot on Sunday. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the return of the NHL?
I am always optimistic. Now, I wasn't quite as optimistic when Brady stood on his sixth or seventh tee and Charles Barkley started to challenge him to hit the green for 25 grand or 50 grand. My optimism was wavering at that point, and I could see inside Tom Brady's mind saying, who talked me into this and why did I say yes? I think that was exactly what was going through his mind at that point. But, you know, just seeing live sports back on TV, Dale, I think it transitions into what we're all hopeful for. And whatever we do see is going to be different. It's going to be challenging. But I think to get these, I guess, events out there, and the week before was almost a test run for the Brady Manning Woods Mickelson event. And from a hockey standpoint, if you're watching it, you're more interested in what went on behind the scenes and all the logistics that went on, albeit only for four players, still from a broadcast standpoint, from a technical standpoint, from a clubhouse standpoint, from all those things. And, you know, as you poured through that on my computer, that document came up as a 22-page document. And as I read through it, all I could think about was legal and medical, legal and medical, legal and medical. So every time a medical question came up, the lawyers were consulted and what they could write, what they couldn't write. And that really is what the challenges are coming back. You know, there's very little in there about actually playing hockey. There were, you know, talks about coming back and skating in small groups at the practice facilities. But the minute they mentioned the practice facilities, it was all about what it would take to get that practice facility where it had to be for the players to do it. And, you know, there's so many challenges as we transition back from this crazy, crazy now 11-week period, I guess, we're into without sports. I think the 12th of March was the day officially that the NHL shut down. You know, it would be challenging coming back from this, regardless of what the circumstances were. But with the circumstances still not totally clear, it's going to be incredible. And just the cost incurred as you read through that 22-page phase two, all you could think about was the costs that are going to be incurred by the respective teams without the revenue flow that they normally have. If you came back and just said, okay, we're back with a full revenue stream, everything's, you know, like it used to be, full buildings and full concessions and full ancillaries and full broadcast rates and everything else, boy, there's a lot of costs here. When you're coming back to fractional revenues, it's even more magnified. But the steps have to be taken. And what phase two is a step back towards playing for the NHL.
Well, to that end, Dave, you said 22 pages. I got as a 24-page PDF here. As a former player, from the playing side of it, what stood out the most about what the NHL has put together here for this phase two?
I think that the player's health is paramount, and I think that's dictated right throughout. I think that's what the players want to see. And, you know, something that was mentioned now, even in terms of transitioning back, in terms of living arrangements, things that families were mentioned, I think that's something you wouldn't have seen, you know, 15 or 20 or 25 years ago, that, you know, if families were to join respective players, those costs would be covered and accommodations would be made. From a player's standpoint, I'm a little surprised by one thing, and that is that there isn't an inclusion of a coach or an instructor when the six players get on the ice. And so essentially what you're saying is this is captain's practice. That's the vernacular you would use coming back at the start of the year when the captains would get together and run skates for a couple of weeks. That surprises me. And I don't know, I'm assuming that's driven by the players, that they don't want to be told exactly what to do right when they get back. But it does surprise me because it's not physical distancing. Guys, a coach could stand on the bench and, you know, the respective six players on the ice could stand, you know, their distances away and they could be instructed on what to do. I'd be much more comfortable if I was a player, if I was instructed at that point. And I'm not talking about overcoaching. I'm talking about having a professional instructor sort of ease me back into going. rather than just get six guys together and say, okay, we're going to, you know, go board to board, or we're going to do this little shooting drill, or we're going to do this little circular drill, or whatever that may be. And today's players are much more used to being instructed in the off season than we were. I mean, we, you know, at the end of the season, you went your way and you worked out and you came back and you started training camp. And now these guys all have personal trainers, all have very high-end, sophisticated programs and sports science they're involved with. So that surprised me from a player's standpoint. But other than that, I think if I look at the document from a player and say, okay, clearly they are catering to every possible medical situation that could potentially arise, and that's very, very important to me.
Dave, as you alluded to, there's huge hurdles, financial, logistical, whatever along the way. But the first thing that jumped out to me was sort of a superficial sports thing in the four top seeded teams playing a round robin for their seeding moving forward, which, you know, as a Bruins fan, I take for, okay, we played, you know, two thirds, three quarters of a season, gave ourselves the best record in hockey, and we could lose that in a three or four game round robin and end up a four seed. That jumps out to me as something I would not like if I were a fan of one of those best teams.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think if you took virtually every team in the mix, other than the, you know, the eight teams that are being added that wouldn't have been in, but even so, you know, if you look at it, say the top 16 teams, are they top 16 by points? Are they top 16 by point percentage? Or there was a third variable that was introduced at one point. Are they top 16 by their first 68 games played in the season, not the last three or whatever that, you know, that imbalanced it? So this is going to be unfair to everyone in some way. It just is. There's not going to be a level playing field for everyone. And if you're one of those top eight teams, you want to play and you want to try and make it competitive, you need some incentive at some point. And so to put the seeding factor into those top eight teams, it just makes it more of a real game. And is it going to be perfect? No, it's not. And I laugh when I think about, you know, NHL players playing, if they're just going out and playing for nothing. And I tell a story, guys, about when I was in Philadelphia, we swept somebody four straight, and the other series was going seven games, and they had started after we did. So there was like a 10-day gap between games. And so we had to try and stay competitive as a team that, you know, was penalized because of their success. And so Mike Keenan was our coach. So, you know, we had a full scrimmage one day, and we had jerseys, game jerseys, and referees, and the scoreboard was on. And, well, of course, one side goes up like 9-0. So Keenan is furious. And so he says, okay, it's like $200 a man to the winning team. Then the other team scores 9 straight. Now he's even madder. So, you know, as silly a story as it is, the fact that the players are playing for something in that top eight grouping is more significant to me than how it turns out.
Okay. We're talking with Dave Poulin, former member of the Boston Bruins, TSN hockey analyst. I still don't think this is a done deal yet, despite the fact that they've taken the proper baby steps in the right direction. I'm reading comments from players like Tuukka Rask of the Bruins, like Devan Dubnyk of the Minnesota Wild, who are saying, listen, we don't really like the idea of being away from our families for a couple of months. Will the players ultimately vote, do you think, to continue despite their reservations about the whole quarantine bubble scenario here?
I do, Dale. I think they'll vote for it. I think there's, you know, the financial impact on enough of them is significant enough to sway the vote. And, you know, and no surprise that the two guys that you mentioned are both goaltenders, because I think it's going to be really tough for goalies coming back into this world. But, you know, the 2-month quarantine is interesting. And if you think about the old Montreal Canadiens, they quarantined in the playoffs and they went to that island for 2 months. And home and away, they were in a hotel. And through their cup teams, you know, that's what they did. And I know that other teams tried the concept of it in later years, and players rebuked and said, look, I can't check out a life for 2 months. And yet these circumstances are so unique, and we've asked so much of so many different people through this time. And, you know, I mean, we talk so much about the frontline workers, but we've asked so much of so many. And, you know, to make that sacrifice now in order to get life back in order in their own house, it's going to be tough. There's no question about it, particularly with young kids. I can only imagine how tough that would be with young kids. And is it a done deal yet, Dale? I don't think it's close to a done deal, but you have to take these baby steps to keep the conversation going. And what conversation does, guys, is it brings up the exact points that you bring up. You know, you might think you've thought something through, and then once you put it on paper and put it in a 22 or 24 page document and get it out there, you know, questions arise that maybe weren't thought of from that perspective. And I think that's really, really important. One thing, and the day that the NHL was canceled, the 12th of March, I was on my way to Chicago to do Chicago-Ottawa and then St. Louis-Ottawa a couple days later. And they called me into the studio in that morning, and they said, could you just go live with Gino Retta, one of our hosts on SportsCenter? And I said, sure. So I was on for about half an hour, and we were throwing back and forth to SportsCenter. And then we built our panel with our regular guys, with James Duffy and the crew. And we went live for like 7 hours and throwing back and forth to SportsCenter and trying to address this. And this is now, what, 10-plus weeks ago. And one of the points that I thought about at that time is this could be an opportunity for the NHL and the NHLPA, the players in the league, to communicate in a way that they've never done before. Like, take their level of communication in a way that's never been as collaborative as it's possibly been, and forge a whole new relationship that serves both and that bends both ways and is truly, truly, you know, a partnership. And I think in a lot of ways, the one positive that comes out of this up to now is that communication. Can they get a deal done? There's a lot better chance of it now, I think, than there were in past years.
Hey, Dave, last one for me. You mentioned the one of the notes here is about families and the hub sites. What are you hearing, you know, in the hockey circles about what the hub sites are going to be? It seems like Vegas is almost a lock, but if you had to guess right now, where are these games going to be played?
Yeah, I don't know. I put my Canadian chip in for Edmonton for a number of reasons. One, the facility is spectacular. Two, there's a brand new JW Marriott attached to the facility. There's plenty of space. And I think space is a really important word, even width of hallways and all that kind of stuff that we're looking at. But most importantly, their rate of incident for COVID is incredibly low, both provincially and city-wise, and really, really low. And then they've produced sort of a player entertainment package, if you will, where they've included a golf course that they would isolate, you know, on off days and movies for families and kids, but they've got all the facilities right there where they could do that. And I think that has to be an idea like that, wherever we end up playing, if that's the case, they go to two sites or four sites, whatever it is, they're going to think about all these things. And those are doable things if you've got the space. And, you know, and I think clearly, when you talk about Vegas, the NBA could be a factor in the NHL going to Vegas. Who knows if they get there first? They've got, you know, they could take any one of their. Well, actually, for basketball though, guys, they build 25,000 seat arenas in their casinos, right, for fights and stuff. So they may be able to take that in a whole different route. But I think, you know, Toronto is one that is very doable from a standpoint of facilities as well. From a Canadian standpoint, if you're talking about a Canadian city, but then you bring the border into effect and, you know, the quarantine, the self-quarantine and crossing the border, all those crazy things that, you know, that we're going to have to deal with moving forward and this transition back. And I think we may be a little bit ahead of you city to city in terms of how we've handled things. But then on our weekend, we had first nice weather. We had a huge park downtown that was overrun with people. And the first real public setback that we've had. And we've got to remind ourselves we're not out of this yet. So, you know, I just think, you know, moving forward, whatever sites they choose, we'll be thinking about more than just actually playing the game. And it's all the different logistics that go with it.
Dave, it's a minor thing in the grand scheme of things, but we just spent a little while talking about the idea. And you've obviously seen the game from the playing perspective and then the TV perspective. Of how you cover these games without fans, would you be pumping in crowd noise? Is it arena crowd noise, or is it just part of the broadcast, depending on which side you're rooting for and watching? As a former player, that empty arena, fake crowd noise, how do you think that would have any effect on the games?
I think the crowd noise would be for the home audience. I don't think it would be for the building. I don't think you'd pump it into the building. I think from a broadcast standpoint, you know, a couple of the producers that I work with regularly, they said, if you give me 11 or 12 cameras, I can make it look great for the home audience. And that's what this is about. And, you know, I'm laughing as we think back to the golf and how, you know, you're talking about the home audience. If that shot tracker's not there, guys, I'm fuming. Like, I want that shot tracker every shot. Now, I'm sitting at home in my living room. I want to see where the ball went.
Right.
And when the shot tracker wasn't up there. And so I think you could get some really creative producers that could do some really good stuff for home audiences, and that might include sound noise. But I don't think it's a factor for the players in the building. I think once the game starts, you know, even if you start at rookie tournaments and you say, you know, I don't know where the Bruins are right now with the rookie tournament, but, you know, if you're playing in a four-team rookie tournament, if you're the afternoon game, you're not playing the home team, you're playing in front of empty buildings, guys. You know, guys have done this before in various stages of exhibition games or whatever it may be. And I think the competition of the game would take over. Certainly it would lose from not having fans there, but the competition of the game would take over.
David, it's always fun to catch up with you. I hope we get to see some hockey soon. Thank you.
Hope to see you in an arena soon, gentlemen. Thanks.
See you, Dave. That is former Boston Bruin Dave Poulin, TSN hockey analyst. You can tell he's got a Notre Dame education and isn't afraid to show it off. He's a very smart guy. But I do agree with him that the crowd noise that you hear won't be in the arenas. It'll just be on your telecasts.
Right.
And, you know, how they tailor that, we'll find out. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom E. Curran will talk Patriots and NFL with us at 1 o'clock. It's Dale and Keefe, Mutt and Andy Hart in the house here on Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, WEEI presents Cooking Tips with Dale Arnold.
It's a bad plan to boil a dead cat that you haven't gutted yet.
Dale and Keith on EEI.
This is going to be unfair to everyone in some way. It just is. There's not going to be a level playing field for everyone. If you're one of those top eight teams, you want to play and you want to try and make it competitive, you need some incentive at some point. And so to put the seeding factor into those top eight teams, it just makes it more of a real game. And is it going to be perfect? No, it's not.
Dave Poulin joining us just a few minutes ago, and he correctly points out very good question about, you know, the top four seeds are going to be playing a round robin that may or may not matter. It might affect their seedings. You know, is that fair or not? And as Dave said, there's probably no plan in any of these sports that are looking to get back into action. There's probably no plan you can come up with that'll be fair and equitable for everyone, I guess. It probably can't happen.
No, but he brought up a great point that, you know, the value and the meaning that you'll bring to those games is, I guess, more important than the perception that you're getting screwed. Oh, I was the number one seed. I earned that over the long season, and now three or four games in a week, I'm going to lose that. But how else do you make those games competitive and force those players to really compete on the ice and prepare themselves for the next? Maybe you're doing them a favor, right? Because if you don't have, if that round robin is meaningless, now when they actually get to the 8-team format, the 16-team format against teams that have just played their way in, they're ill-prepared. They're the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? All I heard last year is Tampa Bay sucked because they didn't play a meaningful game for multiple months because they were so good. They cruised. Well, now maybe you're actually helping these teams that, you know, forcing them to compete in this round robin.
Well, and it relates here and it relates in the NBA. And I don't feel this way, but I've started to see people suggest these championships should not count. Now, you talk about the fairness of this and the way it's set up. I'm fine with it. I'm okay with saying it was a weird season for everybody, but you still earned a championship. And I would feel the same way about these two formats we're looking at here, whether it's the 24 teams in the NHL or the 16 teams in the NBA. I will view them personally
as... By the way, Bruce Cassidy agreed with you. When we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, he said, you got a ring at the end of this whole thing. Your name's on the Stanley Cup. It matters.
Yeah, I'm not going to nitpick and say, boy, they didn't do it the same way that the team last year did or the team 10 years ago. It's a different type of season, and I don't think the players will either. I do think there'll be those in the media and maybe some teams that get screwed, to Andy's point, about teams that think it's unfair. That will be their excuse afterwards. Well, you know, well, if it's a regular season, we had a much better shot than we would have got upset in that second round. Maybe they'll do it that way. But to me, you're doing the best with what you have, and I think you have to, in any of these sports, to figure out a way to come back. If that means a different championship, I'm fine with that.
And everybody's playing on a relatively level playing field, right? The rules will be the same for everybody. So I think people will talk about it initially. You know, we might have some upsets where the, you know, the 12 seed goes on a run and you're like, yeah, they wouldn't have, they shouldn't have been in it.
Which you could have, you know, you could have upsets in any year in the playoffs.
And I'm a firm believer that history, we all just sort of forget the details. And then you say, oh yeah, remember when the 1920 Bruins won the Stanley Cup? And you'll just celebrate a Stanley Cup. And you will know the story. Oh, that was the year they had that shutdown. But then, wow, it was great. They picked up right where they left off and they came back. The bottom line is, who ends holding the cup? Who puts a ring on their finger? That's what history is going to remember.
I also wonder about the game itself, both in the NBA and in the NHL, the two teams that we're talking about returning here. Major League Baseball starting over, theoretically. They didn't get started. Yeah. I wonder if the game's going to be different. Now, in the NHL, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you almost never have fighting anyway. It almost doesn't exist anymore. But I almost wondered if in the face of the new now across the continent, if, you know, fighting is just going to be something that they say, you know what, we're not doing that anymore.
Well, it's hard to fight from 6 feet apart, Dale. It's the world we live in.
Well, you'd like to think that checking won't disappear.
No, I would like to think it won't.
Well, Dale, I think the NBA game is going to look ugly, at least for a couple weeks, maybe the entire thing. Like, we were joking with Andy last week about these finals games and Last Dance, games in the 70s and 80s and 90 points. I'm not going to be shocked if, at least for a couple weeks, same thing happens this year, because the games will look sloppy. In the NHL, if there is no fighting and no retaliation, wouldn't that put the real talented skill position guys on alert that, hey, you might have teams might take extra liberties with you, knowing they're not going to have to serve any sort of retaliation for that?
In general, I mean, I know that's always the theory, and it'll be interesting to see how it evolves, too, because, you know, there could be a certain timid nature to the return.
Yeah.
And then something happens and, you know, everybody's got a plan until you're punched in the mouth. The old Mike Tyson thing. This is how we thought we were going to play hockey, but you just took out my guy. Oh, it's on. I don't care whether we're in Orlando, we're on our own arena, whether it's a pandemic, not a pandemic. Sometimes your instincts, I think, just take over. And I want that personally. I've been arguing for that at some point when the players get on the ice, the field, the court, I want basketball. I want hockey. I want baseball. I want football. I don't want them thinking about, you know, I've been very critical.
How do we change the game?
Right. Yeah. Oh, that ball touched the second baseman and the shortstop. Get that the heck out of here. Don't touch it again. Like, I don't want them freaking out. I want them to trust the health process, the travel, the logistics, so that when they actually compete, I think I'm getting pretty darn close to an actual, real, old school, traditional competition. So I hope not too much changes. But, you know, you think about the shooting could be horrific in the NBA. I mean, I don't know what the... Remember when Giannis was saying...
Dave said goaltending in the NHL
could
be horrific.
Right, yeah. But, and that, by the way, that's an argument. If I'm a player, I hadn't really thought of this. That's an argument to go right to the postseason, because those statistics don't really count. And if you play... I mean, they count, you know what I mean? But they're not included in your traditional statistics. I don't want 15 games of me being a terrible goalie, or, you know, some horrific... I shot threes at a, you know, 17% rate, if, you know, for 17 games coming out of a pandemic. So let's go right to the postseason. Those stats are different anyway. We'll just compete. If both team shooters stink, well, we'll be on an equal playing field.
Well, yesterday was a holiday, so that meant no homeschooling. You got to have a day off. But for a lot of folks, homeschooling has become a reality, and I have a feeling it might affect one of us maybe more than the others. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe. Mutt's in the house. Andy Hart's in the house. Tom E. Curran joins us in an hour here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.